ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾವೇದ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾಮಖಾ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಯೋಗ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಕ್ರಿಯಾಃ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಂ ತಪಃ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರೋ ಧರ್ಮೋ ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಗತಿಃ. ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ಲಿ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಾಸುದೇವ. ವಾಸುದೇವ ಪರಾ ಯೋಗ, ವೇದ, ಧರ್ಮ, ಮಖ, ತಪ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪರಾಗತಿ ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್. ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ ಹಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ದ 81 ಪೇಜ್ ನಂಬರ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್. ಸಿ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಮೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ವಿಚ್ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಸಕ್ಸಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ವಿದ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಓನ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಸೊ ನಾವು ಸಂಬಡಿ ಮೇ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ವೆನ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ರಿಚ್ ಆರ್ ದೇ ನಾಟ್ ರೆಕಗ್ನೈಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ವೆರಿ ರಿಚ್. ಸಂಬಡಿ ಈಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಪ್ರೀಮಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಿಟ್ಯೂಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ರೆಕಗ್ನೈಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್. ಸೊ ದೆನ್ ವೈ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್? ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಡೀಪ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್. ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ 4 ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಸ್: ಜಾಗೃತಿ, ಸ್ವಪ್ನ, ಸುಷುಪ್ತಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸಮಾಧಿ. ತುರ್ಯಾ ಆರ್ ಸಮಾಧಿ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ 4 ಸ್ಟೇಜ್. ಭಾಗವತಂ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಯು ಸೀ ಇನ್ ತುರ್ಯಾ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮಾಧಿ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ಬಿಲೋ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಜಾಗೃತಿ, ಸ್ವಪ್ನ, ಸುಷುಪ್ತಿ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸ್ಡ್ ಸೇಜ್ ಆರ್ ಅ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಅಡ್ವಾನ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ಸಮಾಧಿ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್ ಯು ಸೀ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಸಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್, ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ 2 ಟ್ರೂತ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್: ದ ಜೀವ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಸೂಪರ್ ಸೋಲ್. ದೇ ಟ್ರೂ ಆರ್ ಚೇತನ್ ವಸ್ತು, ಅಣುಚಿದ್ ವಸ್ತು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬೃಹಚ್ಚಿದ್ ವಸ್ತು. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಅದರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ 24 ಕಂಗ್ಲಮರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್, ವಿಚ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡ್ಸ್ ಅವರ್ IIT ಡಿಗ್ರಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ವಿಚ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡ್ಸ್ ಅವರ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ವಿಚ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡ್ಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಮಾಸ್ ಇನ್ 24 ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಎನಿ ವೆಯ್ಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ಡೆಡ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಬಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ 2 ಚೇತನ್ ವಸ್ತುಸ್: ಬೃಹಜ್ಜಿದ್ ವಸ್ತು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಣುಚಿದ್ ವಸ್ತು, ಸೂಪರ್ ಸೋಲ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸೋಲ್. ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಸೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅ ಸಮಾಧಿ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ವ್ಯೂ, ಯು ವಿಲ್ ರೀಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ದಟ್ ಒನ್ ದ ಪ್ರಳಯ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್, ದ ಸನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮೂನ್ ಲೂಸ್ ದರ್ ಗ್ಲಾರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಸಬ್ಮರ್ಜ್ಡ್ ಬೈ, ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಸೀ ದ ವಾಟರ್ ಲೆವೆಲ್ ರೈಸಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಹೈ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದ ಪ್ರಳಯ. ಎವ್ರಿವೇರ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಪಿಚ್ ಡಾರ್ಕ್ನೆಸ್. ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಡಾರ್ಕ್ನೆಸ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ವೈಡ್ ಅವೇಕ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಅನ್ಅಫೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಚಿಂಗ್ ದ ಸಿಚುವೇಶನ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಜೀವಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಬೈ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕೆಪ್ಟನ್ ಇಸ್ ನೇವಲ್, ಗರ್ಭದಕ್ಷ ವಿಷ್ಣುಸ್ ನೇವಲ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಇಲ್ ಬಿ ರಿಲೀಸ್ಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ವೆನ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೃಷ್ಟಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ನೋ ಅಗೇನ್ ದ ಜೀವಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಗಿವನ್ ದರ್ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದರ್ ಗುಣಾಸ್ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿವ್ಲಿ ಇನ್ ಆರ್ಡರ್ ಟು ಆ್ಯಕ್ಟ್ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದರ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಸೂಪರ್ ಸೋಲ್ ಸ್ಯಾಂಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಅಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಜೀವಾಸ್, ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್. ಆಲ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಕಂಗ್ಲಮರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಆಲ್ ದೋ ದ ಜೀವ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್, ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದ ಜೀವ ಇಸ್ ಬ್ಲೂಯಿಶ್ ಕವರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಸಟಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ, ವೇರ್ ದ ಜೀವ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಡಾರ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸ್ಟೋರ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕೆಪ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಸಟಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ, ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅನ್ಪ್ಯಾಕ್ ದೋಸ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗಿವ್ ದಮ್ ಶೇಪ್ ವೆನ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಎವರ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಗಿವನ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಬಾಡಿ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಬಾಯ್ ಹೂ ಗೋಸ್ ಟು ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ಅಟ್ 4 o'clock ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟೆಲ್ಸ್ ಅ ಮದರ್, ಮಾಮ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಟೈರ್ಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಸ್ಕೂಲ್. you know, I'm going to bed now, but I have to go to movie. There's a movie at 6 o'clock. Huh? So wake me up. So as soon as the mother wakes him up at 6 o'clock, where will he go?
Movie.
Movie. Because he slept with the desire to go to movie. Now when he gets up, he will go to movie. Similarly, the jiva sleep in the navel of the Lord with some desires stored in the subtle body. When they are woken up and given respective name and form, I mean the material bodies along with the nomenclature, they run here and there and do their activities. Correct, no? But during the dormant stage, Vishnu is alive, the jivas are alive, and there is conglomeration of material elements. Therefore, the success of the jiva is in his own mind only. Otherwise, everything else in this world is simply a conglomeration of material elements. So we may attach too much importance to our degree, or our bodily beauty, or our fame. It's all finished at the time of pralaya, they don't have any existence. But still the jiva has that abhimana or ahankar that, you know, I became popular, I became famous. That is stored in the subtle body. Therefore it is said it is in the mind. Is that clear? So, now, by reading these characteristics of Supreme Lord, our fixity on Him and our adoration and admiration of Him will increase. And why we should increase that? Because we said this, the conditioned jiva absorbs himself in conventional world of samsara, but the liberated jiva absorbs himself in Supreme Lord. Correct, no? So the conditioned souls take the conventional world of samsara to be very serious. While the pure devotees, they take Supreme Lord to be very serious. But out of the two, Supreme Lord is a permanent reality at all times. Whereas the conventional world exists for a while. It is called as here today, gone tomorrow. That is, today you see these big shopping malls. They are occupying the whole street practically. It is here today. When pralaya comes, everything will be gone. Correct, no? Gone tomorrow. So, the pure devotees of the Lord, they are unaffected by the glitter and glamour of this material world because it is only showing off for a while. And then it will vanish. Everything will vanish. Therefore, we should hook on to that reality which is unchangeable, permanent, stable, pure, supreme, that which is capable of liberating us, elevating us, purifying us, and giving us everlasting happiness and shelter. And that is Supreme Lord. Therefore, we don't attach ourselves to this conventional world of samsara. But the conventional world of samsara is required for us for vyavaharika, for practical purposes. Like for example, we call all of you as Prabhu and others you call as Matajis. Correct, no? And we may call different people differently. This is only vyavaharika. But otherwise the soul is neither Prabhuji nor Mataji. It is beyond all that. It is pure spirit. So in the conventional world, somebody may be called a king, somebody is called a soldier, somebody is called a servant. For example, if a man sleeps in a house, after he closes his eyes, and a dog is sleeping in a platform, he closes its eyes, both of them are asleep. In sleep, there is no difference. Because in both the bodies, there is soul. Similar soul, there is no. So, Prabhupada used to give such an example that in this world, whether you are, for example, if there is a ocean where people go to bathe, a king is drowning or some praja is drowning. Drowning man is a drowning man, correct, no? He has to be saved. So there is equality amongst the living beings, you will see, in this world, when you don't take the conventional position to be too serious. Correct, no? So that's what Raghuna was told by Jadabharata, that you are a king, you are ordered by the Lord to take care of the praja, it's all right. But don't make a big fuss about it, you know? Don't get too attached to it or addicted to that position, because you are not that position permanently. That is a changing position. Right now, therefore yesterday I explained that with 2-3 examples. You remember? One may be king now and another one may be servant. Tomorrow the positions may reverse. Explain that. So now, the Lord is the focus of the pure devotee. So let us see how the pure devotee focuses on the Lord. So the 13th and 14th verses of the 11th chapter. ప్లీజ్ రిసైట్ ద వర్స్. క్షేత్రజ్ఞ ఆత్మా పురుష పురాణ సాక్షాత్ స్వయం జ్యోతిరజః పరేశః నారాయణో భగవాన్ వాసుదేవః స్వమాయయాత్మన్యవధీయమానః యథానిలస్థావరజంగమానాం ఆత్మస్వరూపేణ నివిష్ట ఈశేత్ ఏవం పరో భగవాన్ వాసుదేవః క్షేత్రజ్ఞ ఆత్మేదమనుప్రవిష్టః. సో దట్ లార్డ్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో కాల్డ్ క్షేత్రజ్ఞ, ఇస్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనల్ గాడ్ హెడ్. క్షేత్రజ్ఞాత్మ ఇదం అనుప్రవిష్ట, ఈ హెస్ ఎంటర్డ్ ఇన్ టు దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ హీ ఈజ్ ఆత్మ హూ ఈజ్ పర్వేడింగ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్. హీ ఈజ్ ద సుప్రీం కంట్రోలర్ విత్ అన్లిమిటెడ్ పవర్ విత్ ఒరిజినల్ అండ్ ఈజ్ పర్సీవబుల్ బై హియరింగ్ ఇన్ గురు పరంపర. సో హౌ కెన్ వి సీ హిమ్? బై హియరింగ్ ఇన్ గురు పరంపర. శ్రుత ఈక్షిత పత్, బై హియరింగ్ వీ కెన్ సీ హిమ్. అండ్ స్వయం జ్యోతి, హిస్ బాడీ హ్యాస్ అ సెల్ఫ్ ఎఫల్జెన్స్ లైక్ ద సన్. అజహ ఇస్ నెవర్ బాండ్ ఇస్ పర ఈశ సుప్రీం లార్డ్. నారాయణ నర అయన ఈజ్ ద రిపాజిటరీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద జీవాస్ ఇన్ హిస్ నేవల్. భగవాన్ వాసుదేవ ఈజ్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ సిక్స్ ఆపలెన్సెస్ అండ్ హీ రిసైడ్స్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్. అండ్ స్వమాయయా ఆత్మని అవధీయమాన, యాక్చువల్లీ హీ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ బై హిజ్ ఓన్ పొటెన్సీ, విచ్ మీన్స్ ఈజ్ నాట్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ ఎనీ వన్. సీ దర్ ఇస్ వన్ వర్స్ ఐ విల్ షో యూ. దిస్ వర్స్ యూ కెన్ సీ దిస్, ప్లీజ్ రిపీట్ దిస్ వర్స్. ఏకమేకతరాభావే యదానోపలభామహే త్రితయం తత్ర యో వేద స ఆత్మా స్వశ్రయాశ్రయః. సో దర్ సిమిలర్ వర్సెస్ ఆర్ దర్. ఓకే, సో దట్ వర్స్ సే స్వ ఆశ్రయాశ్రయః, మీనింగ్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దట్? ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ద మెటీరియల్ బాడీ ఈజ్ రెస్టింగ్ ఆన్ ద సోల్, కరెక్ట్ నా? Without the soul, it has no independent existence. But the soul is not independent. It depends on the super soul. And the super soul is not, super soul is supremely independent. Sva ashraya ashraya, he says, which means he is independent. He is resting place for himself. He doesn't have to rest on anyone else, like that he says. So, of course, there are many other things said, like the presiding deities of the senses, they are required for our senses to function, so our senses are dependent on them. Similarly, the soul is also required for our senses to perceive anything. So like that it explains many things, but finally it says super soul is fully independent. That's the meaning of this swamayayatmani avadhiyamanaha, exists a controller. Yata anilaha sthavara jangamana, just as air pervades everything. Stavara jangamanam atma swarupena, as super soul he nivishtaha, he enters into all our hearts. Ishet, he controls. Evam paraha bhagavan vasudevaha, he controls everyone and everything, and he is transcendental, and he is bhagavan vasudeva, and he is called as kshetrajna. Such a beautiful verse, huh? So, and they have given it point wise here, see each of these items. So this clearly shows that Jadabharata is not an impersonalist. How many of you, sometimes seeing behavior of Jadabharata, it appeared that maybe he looks like an impersonalist, correct, no? So that suspicion can be given up, because he says Bhagavan Vasudeva, the Supreme Lord with six opulences, either he says that. So he defines the Lord. And then in 15 to 17, The last part is very important. It's talking about how to deliver the conscious soul from illusion. Let's conclude this chapter. See, the one which we read just now about Bhagavan Vasudeva description, this is actually the foundation of our spiritual life. If one does not take this information very seriously, then many times spiritual life may be very superficial. Actually, we go by the activities, run here, run there, do this, do that. But deep within our heart, there has to be a very firm faith in the Adi Purusha. All the prayers of great devotees begin with the word Adyam. Namasye Purusham Tu Adyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param. Correct, no? Similarly, Arjuna is praying when he sees the Brahmastra in the sky. You know what is he saying? Tvam Yeva Madhya Purusha Purana. Like that he is saying. So he is also calling us. Similarly, Bhishma is seeing Lord Krishna right in front of him. He is saying, Yeshavai Bhagavan Sakshat Hagdyo Narayana Puman. Like that he is saying. Mohayan Mayaya. Like that he is saying. Gudayan Maham. So Guda Charita Vrishishu. So the first line says Adya. Adi Purusha. Similarly, Arjuna is saying, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam, Devam, Adi Devam. See, the word Adi is there, all this. There is one Thiruvalluvar in South India who wrote one book called Thirukkural. It's very popular. There are three sections in that. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. So he has written about all the four. So in the first shloka he writes, Ahara, Ahara Udalam Eduthellam Adi Bhagavan Mudatre Ulahu, he says. Adi Bhagavan, he says. He says everything in this creation has come from one Supreme Lord who is called Adi Bhagavan. So the book begins with this verse. Chanakya writes his Chanakya Niti. First verse he writes, Pranamya Shirasa Vishnum Trailokya Adipatim Prabhum Nana Shastra Vidha. Like that he writes, where he says, you know, he's saying, Pranamya Shirasa Vishnu, I bow down my head to Lord Vishnu, Trailokya Adipatim Prabhum. He is Adipati of all the three lokas. And then he's saying, Nana Shastra, I have taken the different shastras and extracted the essence and I am giving as Chanakya Niti. Like that he says. So, anyone in this world, you will find the praise of the Lord is begun as Adi Purusha. Or the original personality. Any other prayer comes to your mind? Even the Nagapatnis also. You know how they began their prayer? Nagapatnyaha Uchuhu. The first prayer you will find. I'll show you. So they are beginning with this.
Nyayo hi dandakata kilbisheshmin tava avatara kalanigrahaya.
So when they say this, see the next verse they will say. In one of the verses they will talk about his Adi Deva. It will come. You will see that. There are 9 verses where they are offering Namaha, Namaha, Namaha like that. They will offer obeisances now. Now they are starting from here onwards.
Namastubhyam Bhagavate Purushaya Mahatmane Bhutavasaya Bhutaya Paraya Paramatmane Jnana Vijnana Nidhiye Brahmane Ananta Shaktiye Agunaya Vikaraya Namaste Prakritaya Cha. Like that. Kalaya Kalna, they are calling him as a time.
So like these are 9 verses talking about the Lord. Pramana Mulaya Shastra Yoniye, Pravrtaya, Navrtaya, Nigamaya, Namo Namaha. They are glorifying him as the scripture. Namak Krishnaya Ramaya, Vasudeva Sudaya Cha, Pradyumnaya Aniruddaya, Satpatam Pataye Namaha. Namo Guna Pradipaya, Guna Drashte. So all these are Nama Nama verses. So actually in one of the verses they are telling about Lord being the source of everyone and everything. Adi.
Similarly, see this one.
Ananta Adyam. It comes, yeah, correct.
See, this is by Gajendra. So Gajendra begins now. Evam yavasito buddhya samadhaya mano hridi jajapa paramam japyam prag janmani anushikshitam. And then he says, how he prays, he says. And if you see, purushaya adibijaya, see, Gajendra is calling him, Om Namo Bhagavate, Tasmai, yata yata chidatmakam, purushaya adibijaya. And then he is going to say now, there is a very soon you will. There is one verse. That is the verse I am going to show it. Na vidyate yasya cha janma karma va na nama rupe guna dosha yeva va tadapi lokapya sambhavayaya swamayaya tanani kala marchati tasmai nama pareshaya brahmane ananta shakshaye arupayo rupaya. Anyway, these are all. See, first one should begin the prayer with Lord being the source of everything. Why? Because Lord is one who has not come from anyone else. He is the source of everyone else. That's the meaning of the first verse of Bhagavatam. What is that? Janmadhyasya yataha. So any devotee of the Lord has the deep faith that Lord is the reality. And there are many other things which appear to be reality in this world, which are all flimsy realities, which pass away with time. The Lord is the only stable reality, undying reality, imperishable reality, eternal reality. The reality worthy of taking shelter. That firm faith is required in any devotee. Actually, why I am telling you this, if we don't internalize this truth, we will be attracted to things other than devotional service. First, the Lord's stable presence has to be internalized. Then you can talk about how the Lord has a form, how He has qualities, how He has activities, pastimes. All those things follow subsequently. Sometimes people think, the absolute truth, how can it be personal? How can it be limited? They think like that to just one person of this particular form. They think like that. Therefore, Shastra has explained, although he looks like one small person, he can expand into millions and millions of forms. He expands as super soul in the heart of everybody. He is there in every atom, space between atoms. And also he is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. So, Prabhupada says in one lecture I heard recently, he says the light is pervading the entire room. That doesn't mean the light is greater than the bulb, which is localized. Because without the bulb, the light cannot pervade the room, like the Prabhupada says. Similarly, the Brahma Jyoti may be all-pervading, but the Supreme Lord is the source of Brahma Jyoti also. So, and then who is that person? His name is Vasudev, one who lives in the heart of everybody. Then you try to understand more about him. These are the qualities which we read here. How he is the original, and he is the supreme controller, he is self-effulgent, he is controller of demigods, he is full of six opulences. And he is the resting place for material and spiritual worlds. So in this way, actually the Lord's, there is one in the Your Best Friend book, if you have read the 11, 12, 13 chapters, they are about super soul, if you see. So those notes which I have given in that booklet, that was one information which I was deeply inspired when His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj spoke about the super soul. It will be like it can be like eye-opener for us. Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara, each word is explained. Paramatmeti Chapyukto, Dehesmin, Purushaparaha. Why I am talking so much right now about the Lord? Because if we cannot see that I am existing and Lord is existing, and everything else is 24 material elements all around. That's all. This is the only reality. If we can be convinced of this, then we will take the spiritual life very seriously. Otherwise, what happens? People forget the Lord and all the 24 material elements become all in all for them. In Bhagavatam, it is said, that was Atakkaverna Masuya Vadartha Syada Pramatto Vyavasaya Buddhihi Siddhenyatati. That was one verse before that. You know what it says? It says,
Okay, in this verse also it says, Atakavir Namasu Yavadartha. In this world, toothpaste has a name, car has a name, pen has a name, Reynolds pen, car has a name, Sandro car, toothpaste has a name, Colgate or close-up or something. But all these names are meaningless, he says. Why? They are simply 24 material elements, just combined in different ways and given different names. So he says these are simply cheating us to chase after them. But the only reality is Lord Vasudeva, whose eyes are wide open even after the pralaya call. In the pralaya, all living entities are carried away. Everything is demolished. All the buildings collapse. Everything is taken and made into one pulp. And there is nothing existing. But at the time also, Lord Vishnu is lying down in Ananta Shesham, smiling. And with the twinkle of his eye, he is causing the pralaya. Simply by one twinkling of his eye. Therefore, that Lord is the only worthy Lord to take shelter. So now, Jadabharata is walking, carrying the palanquin, but he is remembering that beautiful Lord Vasudeva in his mind. How he is in my heart, a super soul. He is in the heart of everybody, a super soul. And he is imperishable. He is a supreme controller, supremely independent. He is fully knowledgeable of the past, present and future. And one who is a supplier of knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness to all jivas. One without whose sanction nothing can move, not even a blade of grass can move, correct? So like this he is actually fondly remembering the Lord in his heart. And therefore it is mentioned here, for liberated soul, the object of meditation is Supreme Lord. For a conditioned soul, his object of meditation is his own subtle body. It is a subtle body with multiple desires, sankalpa, vikalpa. Whereas for a liberated soul, the object for absorption is Lord Vasudeva. So this is a very vital information for us, because we have to change our absorption from material to spiritual, from our subtle body to the Supreme Lord. We have to move our attention from our focus on our own subtle bodies and thinking of our I like this, I don't like this, I want this, I want that, I dream about this, I dream about that. We have to rise above that and fix our eyes on the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva. And that we learn from Jadabharata. Because those who can do that, they can take the circumstances that come in our life very lightly, without fear. Sometimes you get success, you will not jump like a monkey. Sometimes you get failure, we will not get depression. Because in this world, success, failure, all these things are simply like a kind of illusion. Because at the end of the day, at the end of pralaya, you remain, Lord remains, and sambandha between the two remains. That's all. Yoga song, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in that song, Nama bina kichu nahito aro chauda bhuvana maje Krishna nama sudha kariyapan judavo bhakti vinoda pran. Boliye. Krishna nama sudha kariyapa yudava bhakti vinoda pran nama vina kichu nahito aro chauda bhuvana maje. My Lord, in these 14 worlds, I don't see anything other than two things, the Lord and His holy name. That's all I see, he says. The holy name is connecting me and my Lord, and the Lord is existing. There is nothing else, everything else is simply darkness. It has no substantiality. Like that he says. So if this can be internalized like the way Jadabharata has done, then one can pass through, rough seas or smooth seas. What is rough sea? Rough sea means sometimes there is a storm in the ocean, sometimes the ocean is calm. There is time of calm, time of storm, the ocean. Both times a devotee can be peaceful, because he knows that this world brings successes, failures, joys, sorrows, insults and praises. It's all here today, gone tomorrow world. So yes, Prabhu.
So this Jadabharat, when he was a deer, he went to the forest and he heard the saints. The sages were preaching and he heard as a deer. But when Jadabharat himself became relieved as a Brahmana, how do we reconcile that Jadabharat was so capable of preaching, but he didn't preach? Isn't that selfishness? How to understand?
So he's asking, is not preaching selfishness? So in bhaktas also there are bhajanandis, there are goshtyanandis. So bhajanandis are internally inspired by the Lord within their heart to only do bhajan. Lord says, go to the Radha Kund, sit there and just do my bhajan. I simply delight in your bhajan. Like I heard Dinabandhu Prabhu was telling, in Vrindavan there are Babajis who meditate only on one pastime, like Krishna lifting over the hill. All life. That's their everyday bhajan. On all the minute details of the pastime. There are Vajabasi Babajis who meditate only on Krishna dancing on Kaliya. Day in and day out, many, many months and years together like that. So we should not criticize those who are bhajanandis because they are inspired by the Lord in that way, like our Gaur Krishas Babaji. They were like that. Even Madhavendra Puri, it is said, he left the cities and towns and went to forest because he could not tolerate the materialistic people. You know, he told his disciples that this place, this world is no good place to live. Let's go to forest. So they were walking through the forest. So every day he would talk to disciples. He would do kirtans. And on the way he meets Lord Nityananda coming the opposite side. At that time, Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri, they chant and dance and they faint. They roll on the ground. Again they get up. Again they do kirtan. They embrace one another. So all the disciples are amazed. And that went on for 10 days. You know. And then Madhavendra Puri tells Nityananda Prabhu, for a long time I could not see someone like you, you know, who is filled with spiritual bliss. Therefore I left the town and cities and I am in the forest wandering. But it is my great blessing that I came across you. I am so blessed that I could get your darshan. Nityananda Prabhu also says something similar to him. So why I am telling you, that is mood of one acharya. In a Madhavendra Puri. But Prabhupada wants us to go to city, town, go to America, go all over the world. And Prabhupada preached and he wants us to follow. So we follow Prabhupada. So both types of acharyas are there, Bhajanandi acharyas and Goshtyanandi. In the case of Jadabharata, he was almost like a Bhajanandi, we can say. Because he was absorbed in the meditation of the Lord and he didn't speak. But here he felt compassion for Rahuguna. So he spoke. Because he thought that if Raja can be trained, then so many other people will benefit. If one fellow behaves properly. Otherwise, many people will suffer because of one bad fellow at the top. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada also used to give training for the leaders, personally taking them for... Whenever Prabhupada felt that somebody is still to be polished more, he would call them for the morning walk. Come with me for the morning walk. He would call them to his office and talk. Because Prabhupada knew that if one fellow you take care, he will take care of many other people. Correct. So then he preached to him. And then again once that preaching was done, he didn't connect with him in any other way. Immediately left the place. You will read that towards the end. He went away. So Prabhuji is asking that, you know, is it not a crime if you don't preach and help other suffering living entities? We have to certainly preach. And we are all Prabhupada's followers. We have been ordered to preach. So we have to preach, surely. And Jadabharata also preached very elaborately now in the subsequent chapters. 11, 12, 13, 14 we are going to hear. When there was a... Therefore a pure devotee of the Lord is compared to waterfalls. In Lonavala you have seen, there is a gushing waterfall sometimes. And in some season there is no water. It is completely silent. In another season there is a thudding, big high sounding waterfalls. Similarly a devotee of the Lord may continuously speak streams of... glorification of the Lord. When there is a good hearer and he is convinced that I should glorify the Lord now. And when there are no proper hearers, unqualified, then a devotee of the Lord is like a waterfall without any water. Dry. So that example is given in 11th canto. So a devotee of the Lord is completely silent sometimes and sometimes he speaks for hours, he may speak. So now he is going to speak in the next few chapters. He does both.
You explained about this, seeing this world as super soul, soul and 24 elements. And whatever knowledge Jadabharat is giving here, is this Jnani viewpoint or is it a Bhakta viewpoint? Because we hear that when Chatushkumaras spoke to Maharaj Prithu, at the end he considers himself satisfied, but actually was not satisfied, Maharaj Prithu, when he heard about all this Jnana. So is this Jnani viewpoint?
Oh, that is different, this is different. Because I told you Bhaktivinoda Thakur song now. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a Bhakta or a Jnani? What do you think? He says, Namo bina kichu nahi to aro chauda bhuvana maje. In all the 14 verses, I don't see anything to be reality other than the Lord and the Holy Name. Everything else is null and void. That is Bhakta's viewpoint. He sees only the Lord, he says. And he can only see other things in relation to Lord. Otherwise he will not see. And here also, therefore I raise this question. Jadabharata looks like an impersonalist, but in this verse it becomes clear, he is not an impersonalist. He is talking of the Lord's personality, form. He is talking of his qualities. He is saying Narayana, Vasudeva. Very clearly he is calling the name of the Lord, Bhagavan, he is saying. He doesn't say some impersonal being with no form. He doesn't say that. Actually, Bhakta also requires detachment. Actually, I will show you one verse. You will recite this verse. All of you recite this. Shrimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Yasmin paramahamsyam ekam amalam jnanam param giyate. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam. Tachran mansupatan vicharana paro bhaktyabhimuchye naraha. See the third line, Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam. In Bhagavatam, all the three are there. Jnana, Viraga and Bhakti. Read the translation.
Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated.
Yeah. So we need the knowledge of soul, super soul and relationship. And we need a renunciation from the material world. And we need devotion to Lord Vasudeva. All the three we need. So when somebody becomes Ahankari Purusha, like Naradeva Abhimanam of Rahugana, then he should be taught this. Aray, be a little detached. You know, don't think of yourself to be the controller of your situation. This world is null and void. The Vasudeva is the only reality. But somebody has already accepted Vasudeva as the divine reality and he is all the time happy with Lord Vasudeva. You are telling him, please kindly look at the world also, do something. You know, please kindly preach also. We need sufficient amount of detachment from the world, not to delight on in material enjoyment. See, if somebody, like somebody says, you know, some people say, you know, one car comes and goes. Kaun aakar gaya malum hai? He says, who is that? This is Hindujas, 47,000 crores. Huh? Like this, they say like that, no? They give. That means he is too impressed by money. And so we have to tell him, please kindly detach yourself a little bit. Correct, no? Similarly, in this world, we are impressed. Like I was telling, two, 3 days ago, I was telling, here only I told, I don't know where I told, Hema Malini Mata came to Pune. Correct, no? I didn't tell you here? Okay, here only I told, no? Yeah, Hema Malini Mataji had come. Parampuja Gopalakrishna Maharaj was also here for the temple opening time. So Maharaj introduced, I said, I told Hare Krishna, I told her, and I told her, thank you madam for chanting 16 rounds, you are regularly chanting, it's a good example you are setting. I heard that your Bharatanatyam is very well known. I have not seen. But later on, I didn't know that she was a cinema actress also. I only knew she was a Bharatanatyam dancer. And that too I heard from somebody. So later on, some devotees told me, Prabhu, she is a very famous Bollywood actor. Now that they were saying. But why I was telling, when she had come, there were so many people trying to stand next to her and click, 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 photos taking and from different posts all around when she was walking. A big crowd was walking around her when she was coming out like that. So you see that people in this world take the material forms, material names, material things too seriously, correct? Now you have to tell them, please kindly cool down. Detach yourself. Other than you and Super Soul, nothing exists. Everything is, including Hemamalini, Mata's body, our body, your body, everybody has 24 material elements, that's all. Isn't it? Don't become too infatuated by this external glitter and glamour, you see. How many of you feel some detachment is required? What do you think? Correct, no? Therefore it is mentioned. Although we say for preaching we have to see the world around us and go out and preach and everything, our problem is not too much detachment. Our problem is too much material enjoyment. Correct, no? See, if you take this world, how many of you feel, many of us suffer from too much detachment? Anybody feels like that? Our suffering is what? Too much? Attachment. Therefore, this is being spoken. Correct, no? Now you see, deliverance of the conditioned souls from illusion. Read that, 15th verse. Translation. See, in 15th verse, see the Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. It says, Na yavad yetam tanubhrung Narendra. See, tanubhrit means a person who has accepted the body, perishable body. Vidhuya mayam vayunoda yena, he says. Okay, read the translation, then I will tell you the words. It will be easy.
My dear King Rahuguna, as long as the conditioned soul accepts the material body and is not freed from the contamination of material enjoyment, and as long as he does not conquer his six enemies and come to the platform of self-realization by awakening his spiritual knowledge, he has to wander amongst different places and different species of life in this material world.
Yeah, this is the answer to the question, what is the hope for a conditioned soul? And he is giving the answer. If you see in your book, Subodhani Guide, they are given 3 points. The soul has to become free of material contamination, which means three gunas, he has to become free from them. And he has to conquer the six enemies, Shatsapatnaha. And thirdly, he becomes self-realized through spiritual knowledge. 3 things should happen, he says. That means one should conquer the 6 enemies, become free from material contamination, and attain spiritual knowledge. Then only jiva can become free from samsara. Otherwise, he'll keep on wandering again and again. You know that verse, Purusha Prakriti Stohi, Bhungte Prakriti Jan Gunan, Karanam, that is mental contamination. Guna Sangha is mental contamination. And then conquering 6 enemies, it's either 5 plus 1, 5 senses in the mind, or it is also Vachavegam, Manasavegam, Krodhavegam. Prabhupada has explained that in the purport. If you see, 15th purport. Okay, Prabhupada quoted this Sarva Padivenir Muktam. Okay. And then read the 16th one.
The soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulations in the material world. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable condition of material body and wander within this universe in different positions. Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed and enmity, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world.
Basically this verse says mind is the cause of all trouble. That's all it says. It is taking us from one body to another. It is inflicting us with multiple material desires and demands and greed and lust and attachment and everything. So the mind is a culprit. And then in 17th verse, he is telling very beautifully the solution to that. Bratravyamenam tadadabravirjam.
Bratravyamenam tadada
उपेक्षयाद्येधितम् अप्रमत्तः गुरोर्हरेश्चरणोपासनास्त्रो जहिव्यलीकं स्वयमात्ममोक्षम्. Read the translation.
This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care.
Yeah. See, he is saying, third line, Guror Haresh Charana Upasana Astro. If you do Charana Upasana of Guru and Hari, that acts as an Astra. Astra means weapon to defeat the devilish mind. If one wants to conquer the mind, one should do Guror Haresh Charanopa Upasanastro. He's saying. And then two more suggestions he has given. He's saying, Bratravyam, that is explained by Chakravarti Thakur very powerfully. Chakravarti Thakur says here, therefore one must capture the mind, he's saying. And then he's saying, neglecting the mind, which is our enemy, one must attack it. But Bratravyam means what he's saying, it is like your brother's son. For example, you have a brother whose son is coming and troubling you. Like you want to sit peacefully and read. And he's bringing this tick, tick, tick. What do you call this? You know this? Children, press the metallic plate which makes tick, tick, tick sound it makes. In villages, children play with that. How many of you have seen that? Yeah. So you are sitting and reading and that boy is hanging around. If you get up from your place and go to slap him, he runs away. When you sit and study again, he comes. Tick, 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 making sound like that. So he is saying, when he is troubling, what you should do? One must attack it. By neglecting it, it is defeated. One should not praise the mind by noticing it and giving it desired enjoyment. Like, you should not tell the boy, hey, sound is very nice, go on continuing. You should not tell like that. However, the intention is not to destroy the mind completely. He says, why? Because can you kill your brother's son? Can you take a gun and shoot him? You cannot do so. Your mind is also like brother's son. He's saying, you cannot destroy it completely. And that's the reason he gives. Why you cannot destroy the mind completely? Since the mind has been already described as the cause of elevation as well as degradation in verse number 7. If you see verse number 7, it says, mind can be elevating also. And mind can also help us to take shelter of the Lord. In verse number 8, it is said. And one should not kill one's brother's son. Bratruvyam. How is the mind described? Mind increases greatly by taking shelter of its transformations. Which means the mind's transformations are what? Can you say? You remember that verse? Sabhasanatma, Vishyo Parakto, Gunapravaho. In that one verse was used. The transformation of the mind are called Vikriti. You know what are the Vikritis? Kama Krodha Lobha. So if you take shelter of Kama Krodha Lobha, the vikritis of the mind, then what happens, he says, mind's power increases very greatly, he says. Then he says, but how can I, who am a weak person, to conquer the mind which is so strong? Somebody may ask like that. I am so weak, mind is so strong, I am defeated, what can I do? He is saying, one should have the weapon in the form of worship of the feet of the Lord, as the nine forms of bhakti, and in the form of the mantra given by Guru. Or one should have the worship of the feet of the Lord, who is the Guru. So he is saying the feet of the Lord itself is Guru, he says. Because Guru always resides in the feet of Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshta. So Guru resides at the feet of Krishna and is very dear to Krishna. So he says that one should worship the feet of the Lord, which is Guru, like that he says. You know, and then he is saying that the mind is not a friend, vyalikam, See, the word Dvalikam is used. In that, where is the Dvalikam word? Fourth line. Jahi Dvalikam Swayam Atma Mosham. So he's saying, mind is not at all a friend because it bubbled as a person by showing its transformations and steals away the form of Paramatma, who is our treasure of our life. It is a great thief. It's like, imagine, if a thief comes to a child and the child is wearing a necklace given by the mother. Necklace is 2 lakh rupees. Very costly necklace. It's a gold and silver necklace. But the thief gives a banana which is 2 rupees. He gives a 2 rupee banana and the child is eating, he steals away 2 lakh rupees necklace and runs away. Similarly, he says, what the mind does, mind gives you the vikritis, namely, kama krodha loba to you, and when you are trying to take shelter of kama krodha loba and enjoy them, he steals away your affection for Lord Vasudeva, which is compared to the necklace, cost, which is like 2 lakh rupees. So therefore, one should not put trust in the mind. It's velikam. It's a great cheater. Mind is a great cheater, like that he says. He who makes his mind give up sense objects by the weapon of bhakti and having destroyed ignorance, applies the mind to Krishna, is called liberated. See, this is a definition of liberation. Please repeat. He who makes his mind give up sense objects by the weapon of bhakti, having destroyed ignorance and applies his mind to Krishna, is called liberated. See, sometimes if you do action, you can remember very easily. Certain things. What action did? He said, he who gives up, he who makes his mind, give up sense objects, isn't it? He gives up. Then, how he gives up the sense objects? By the weapon of bhakti. What is the weapon? Guru, Haresh, Charana, Upasana, Astro. That is the weapon. By taking the weapon of shelter of Guru and Hari, he cuts the focus on the sense objects of the mind. He cuts it and then instead what he does? He focuses on Hari. Such a person is called liberated. Beautiful definition. Because sometimes we think liberation means detachment from Maya, attachment to Krishna, we say. But that doesn't come very easily. Therefore, the third line he says, Guru or Haresh Charanopasa, Charanopasanastro. That is required for doing this. And then he says, he who nourishes ignorance filled with impressions of desire and takes shelter of the transformation of the mind, since he lacks bhakti, he is called conditioned. Here, conditioned soul definition. Conditioned soul, what he does? He nourishes his ignorance by filling up the mind with multiple desires, taking shelter of kama krodha loba. Because he lacks bhakti. Actually, why he is nourishing his ignorance? Because he lacks bhakti. Because if bhakti was there, he would have had the weapon. If weapon was there, he would have cut the mind from sense objects. Therefore, what happens with us, sadhana bhaktas? We have the knowledge. But the knowledge of Shastra is like a sword. But the Guru's shelter is like a strength. Because Guru is Balaram's representative. So Guru gives the strength, and Shastra gives the knowledge, which is Krishna gives the knowledge to Shastra. So to lift the knowledge and apply it in our life, we need Guru's Kripa. When Guru's Kripa comes in life, then one can lift the sword. And what you can cut, the mind's focus on sense objects can be cut. And then once that is cut, then you get more joy and strength. Then focus on, he says, the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva. In this way, such a person can become liberated. So the conditioned soul, his energy is flow always downwards. He is always nourishing his ignorance because of contemplation on kama krodha loba and taking shelter of those vikritis in his mind. So he goes down. Then his mind becomes filled with vasanas. And he is always thinking of how to implement my durgandh vasanas. So he becomes more and more conditioned. So, here in Prabhupada's purport, he gives some clue on controlling mind also. Please read the purport.
There is no
purport.
There is no need to fear
Yeah.
There is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered: neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders.
We have to be expert in what? You have to disobey the mind's orders. The mind will keep on demanding so many things foolishly. We have to. Yes, Prabhuji is asking. Give a mic to him. Some people commit suicide. Why? Because the mind troubles them too much. And so they not only try to kill the mind, they try to kill the body also foolishly. Therefore he is saying, Bratrubhyamenam. Don't try to kill the mind, destroy the mind. Don't take some, you know, psychiatric pills to calm the mind. He says, instead actually treat him like a brother's son. He's a naughty boy, but you should know the art of dealing with him in such a way that he will not disturb you. Yes?
Prabhuji, when we, this principle of neglect to control the mind, when we many times try to neglect it, we have to show some sort of resistance. So with the mind which I have observed while neglect, that whatever we resist, it persists it more. So I try to neglect.
Actually, if it is so much resisting, that means you are not neglecting, you are actually attending to it. Actually, neglect actually means you become preoccupied with something else which is more important. Therefore, we all should make our morning to night schedules extremely tight with spiritual engagements. Like now I am doing this class. Who will beat me if I don't do this class now? Tell me. Imagine I say that I have completed my 2 years with Vidyapeetham. I just came to Pune. I can be reading different books and enjoying myself. But we all have to give some engagement for ourselves and others also. So we all can spiritually absorb ourselves. And like for example, my spiritual master has spoken thousands of lectures. Sometimes I used to get shocked, you know, how will I complete all this? So I get sometimes a feeling that I will never be able to hear all of this. But then later on I made up my mind that I will take some 10 or 20 lectures under one heading. You know, I want to give up false pride, so I take 10 lectures. And then I try to finish these 10 lectures in 2 weeks. You know. So we all have to, what do you call it, give our own like self-projects. See, if you are in company, they will give you a project. Correct. Now here in ISKCON, we have so much freedom. Nobody catches you. So we have to give our own project. Like now Vidyapeetham classes is my own project. I have taken it for my good and others' good. So you can also take like that. Keep ourselves preoccupied. Then what happens? Then the material mind gets neglected. Because mind cannot, there is no, you may want to enjoy sense gratification, but there's no time only. Where is time? It's one of the ways you will preoccupy the mind with one after another. Go from one spiritual engagement to another. And the third one and fourth one. And till morning to night you will collapse in the bed. You have no time to dream anything.
Yes, but Prabhuji, engagement can go on and on if you are having taste in that engagement. If my taste remains in sense gratification and I'm trying to artificially engage myself,
cannot artificially engage. Therefore, you should find out what are the spiritual activities which your mind likes. Correct, no? Because once mind likes, it will run for it. Let us ask the devotees, any of you, what are the spiritual activities which your mind likes? She likes book distribution, okay? Anybody else? Preaching he likes, okay? Preaching, okay? Anybody else? What do you like? What your mind likes? Naturally, nobody needs to push you. On your own, you will do it. Huh? You like counseling? Amazing. If anybody has problems, catch Radha Kunjavari Prabhu. Huh? He has a lot of time and he has a lot of taste also. Really? You are not fed up. I think you don't have enough counselors till now. Anybody else? Yeah? Deity worship, wonderful. Yeah. So see, they are saying, what is your taste for the mind?
Reading and preaching.
Reading and preaching. So you find out what is tasty for your mind and take up that engagement. See, we need some engagement which we may want to do day in and day out. We'll never get tired. The more we do, the more we go mad. We want to do more and more. Every one of us have mad attraction for some service. So take up such type of service. Talk to your authorities. Take up service and then you will see that it is said if you love your service, you don't have to work for a day in your life. Because it's not work, it is fun. So if mind can derive fun in spiritual life, you know, then you can pull the mind away from sense gratification. It's possible, yeah. And Prabhupada's purport is very special. Read that.
Gradually the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind.
See, soul is a higher self and mind is a lower self. Correct? Similarly, what is intelligence? Intelligence is higher than mind or lower?
Higher.
Higher. And senses?
Lower.
So senses are below mind. Senses cannot dictate the mind. Not possible. But intelligence can tell the mind, hey, this is not good for you. Rationally speaking, logically speaking, this doesn't work, it's not good for you. But sometimes the mind becomes emotional and it will cheat the intelligence also. Therefore, the mind should be made to obey the soul, and the soul should obey the super soul. So if the soul aligns with super soul, then intelligence obeys the soul, then the mind will obey the intelligence. So mind should be kept under control, and it is possible. It's like a husband, wife and children. Husband is intelligence, wife is mind, and children are senses. Correct, no? Now, if wife is submissive to husband, then children are submissive to wife, I mean the mother, then the whole family is a wonderful, happy family. Correct, no? Otherwise, you find children are screaming, waving hands and legs, Mama, Papa, I know I want this cocoa chocolate. Mother is shouting at the husband, hey, children are screaming for cocoa chocolate, better give them and shut their mouth. Then the husband immediately releases the money from the pocket and buys cocoa chocolate. That means the children control mother, mother controls husband. Correct, no? That is our situation of a conditioned soul in this world. On the other hand, if a husband is spiritually advanced, he follows the guru, wife follows the husband, children follow the mother, then they all go back to God. Okay, read further.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times, just after awakening and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instructions of the Shastras.
Of all the Shastras.
Of all the Shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process.
Okay, before you go to the next process, see, sometimes the mind's pushings are so powerful that a devotee can be defeated. One may find one's attempts very feeble. For example, if a devotee gets bad dreams, then before going to bed, one should chant 2-3 rounds of Hare Krishna. Although it may be a bit painful, one may not like to chant, one may want to go to bed, but one should sit in the bed and chant. And you can put on the recording of your very nice kirtan. And kirtan is entering in the ears, and you go to sleep. Prabhupada says, if you read Krishna book before going to bed, you will get Krishna dreams. Prabhupada says. So in this way, a devotee should make conscious efforts to curb bad dreams, bad thoughts, bad contemplation, bad activities. One should do that. Therefore, he is saying that one should beat it with shoes many times. That means chant more rounds than keeping minimum 16 rounds. Like that, he says.
Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled.
So 5-6 solutions he gives. One is neglect the mind, he says, and then he is saying also, expertly disobey the orders of the mind. There is also neglect only. And then he is saying that mind always will tell, do this, do that, but you don't obey the mind. Buy this, buy that, enjoy this, enjoy that. No. Neglect the mind. And then he is saying, train the mind to obey the orders of the soul and super soul. Correct, no? Train the mind. Train means it takes some time. Training doesn't come overnight. Abhyasyanad kaunteya vairagyana cha grihate. One has to train. See, nowadays, modern day boys, girls are mixing very freely. Correct, no? And they have become very loose, and therefore they are becoming very unclean in their character, getting degraded. And they get habituated to this. If you tell anywhere in a class that boys go to one side, girls go to one side and sit, then they may not come for your class. They may say, the Swamiji is too strict, we cannot come only. Correct, no? Because they have got addicted to it like two-legged animals. Like that. But in ISKCON we have trained men and women how they should behave with one another. That means such habits are trainable. Agreed? Correct, no? Can ISKCON anybody say, no, I will go and sit with Mataji side only. Can any man say like that? Huh? You know, I have come with my friend, I will sit with her only on that side. Can he say? Yes, to sit this side. That means mind can be trained, isn't it? Similarly, eating in time, you have morning 8 o'clock, afternoon 1:15, evening 6 o'clock, you have time in between, you know, you are not fed anything. So you can train the mind to eat only at regulated times, not that keep on putting something all the time. Animals only keep eating all the time, if you see. So Prabhupada says, by training, we can control the senses. It's possible. Similarly, mind also can be trained. He was telling His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Purana Maharaj was in Mayapur. So he was giving a Bhagavatam class. He was telling in family life, he was telling, if a husband and wife, they get enough money, they have big bungalow, they have car, everything is goody-goody going, everything very nice. He said, you do minimum spiritual life and there is a tendency for sense gratification. Whereas he said, then he was telling in brahmachari life, the ashram itself is designed in such a way that either you do no sense gratification or if you do, then you are out. Like a brahmachari, even if he is having free time, he cannot contemplate on dirty things. It's not possible. If he does so, then he won't be in the ashram anymore. Therefore, this ashram has, both ashramas are given their prescriptions on how to train the mind not to liberally and loosely act the way it wants. So Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita purport that the mind is like a loose snake. Snake, you have seen that how a snake moves. It moves, you know. Mind also moves like this. Mind and senses. Senses are compared to loose snakes. Sometimes it is very wonderful to put a snake around the neck in summer season because snake's body is very, very cooling. Is it wonderful? Wrap it around your body. You wrap it around your body, it will sting you. Isn't it? Similarly, he says the senses, sometimes to enjoy the senses may be very pleasing experience, but senses will, Yamadutas will take us to hell to beat us up. Therefore, he says that yogi means one who can control his senses at will. Which means he has control over the senses and he will not loosely let them go in wrong directions. Now, modern day boys, girls are not trained like this, so they become loose like dogs. Prabhupada says a dog cannot control his sense. Why? In a street, sometimes you see a dozen dogs are chasing after one woman, one lady dog. Correct? You've seen? Bah, bah, whole night they are bah, 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 shouting. Because Prabhupada says poor dogs, they can't control their senses. But in human society, you will find that man is allowed to marry a woman and she's husband, wife, live peacefully. Not that a dozen men are chasing after one woman, bow, 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 all the time, shouting. Because man can control senses. So that means by training, we can control the mind. By training, we can control senses. You know, one place Prabhupada says, brahmacharya, what is it? You simply by training, you can become a good brahmachari, Prabhupada says. Some people ask, can I become brahmachari again? By training, you can become anything. Abhyasenadu kaunteya, vairagyena chakrakhyate. Therefore, here he is saying about training. You see, gradually the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. Okay, if somebody, despite given good training, his mind is not obeying, then he is given another ashram. Okay, accept the grihastha ashram, beget children, raise the children Krishna consciously, do some job. Then one should accept that training, one should accept. And then thirdly, he says, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's beating mechanism. Beat the mind. Because if training doesn't work, mind is too adamant to enjoy, then beat the mind with 64 rounds. Anyakadashideya. Then in this way, mind will become controlled. And then fourthly, he says, strictly abide by the orders of Guru. That's fourth he is saying. And finally, fifth one, he says, engage in Lord's service. Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam. So like that he says. So five things Prabhupada is giving solutions here. How to work with the mind, neglect the mind, and train the mind to attentively obey the orders of the soul, beat the mind with shoes or jadu, which is like chanting extra rounds, and obey Guru's order and engage in Krishna's service. So all these things will gradually make the mind become calm, cool, collected, come to sattva-guna, and then mind will be obedient. And then we can engage the mind in Lord's service peacefully. Therefore, we should actually make mold our life in such a way that our own spiritual life will go on very properly, very nicely. Then we can preach to others and help other people. Otherwise, if we are ourselves in a turmoil, mind is going mad, doing all kinds of wrong things, it is dangerous. According to this chapter, doing wrong things means all those nine list of items, Vasanatma, Vishyo, Parakto, you know, Vikrataha, all those things he says, you know, Shodashatma. So the nine things he is saying. At the mental level itself, we have to curb the sins. What to speak of doing on the body, bodily platform. In this way, when mind is curbed, the nasty propensities of the mind are curbed. That's called asat-cheshta. When the asat-cheshtas are curbed, then the mind can peacefully focus on Lord Vasudeva. Very beautiful chapter it is. So, I have made one notes, which I wanted to... This I will mail all of you. This is the one I had made for the Krishna Rasayana. It's called Dust of a Pure Devotee Can Only Cure the Rust of False Pride. So we'll quickly... See, this is the 11th chapter we finished just now. You can quickly revise. So what is the content of this chapter? Mind is the cause of samsara. It has many transformations. Engage mind in bhakti. Liberated soul not touched by material senses, so no fatigue. So Jarabhrata told him, you are speaking like a Kovida Vada Vadan, but you are Akovida. He told him. Yeah, really experienced person discerns the truth, tattva avamarshena. And does not speak about mundane social conventions like vyavaharam, like relationship between master and servant, he says. Then why do people engage in chasing after material enjoyment despite being enlightened by devotees? Then he's talking about conditioned soul. You remember this elephant example? Sukha dukkha. Nine characteristics of the mind also. See, the lamp-like mind causes bondage and liberation. Then functions of the mind, jnanendriya, karmendriya and ahankar. The liberated soul's speciality is what? Is absorbed in Supreme Lord. And conditioned soul absorbs in the conventional world of samsara, correct? And the liberated soul absorbs not only Supreme Lord, he can see the transformations of the mind, which performs actions opposed to the Lord. Correct, no? You see, how many of you have observed when you see the transformations happening in the mind, mind performs actions opposed to the Lord. You observed it? Correct, no? So, when Kama Krodha Lobha is a downward vector, Prema, Bhakti, Shraddha, Jnana, they are upward vector. So, you have to see whether my mind is contributing to upward vector or downward vector. If mind is contributing to upward vector, you are going back to Godhead. And downward vector will make us take one more birth. Correct, no? So, liberated soul can observe it. Hey, now my mind is going in the wrong track. Can you give an example from scriptures? Some great soul who made an observation and saved himself from an imminent disaster. He didn't slip or fall. He observed and he escaped from the situation, yes? Oh, right. He is talking about Parikshit repentance because he observed his own mind and his activities. That's correct, very nice. And then he became spiritually liberated. Yes, Prabhu? Vritrasura is saying. Vritrasura actually, when did he meditate on an imminent disaster and then he escaped? Yeah? Who? Correct. Actually, when Chitraketu was cursed, he had purpose is, Chitraketu was so powerful because he had taken darshan of Lord Sankarshan and he was the initiated disciple of Narada. So he was very powerful. Devotee Prabhupada writes in that purport, Chitraketu was capable of cursing Maya also, Prabhupada says. But he did not curse. At that time, he maintained his composure and accepted the curse given to him to become an asura. And that is very... he was very thoughtful. That means he observed the nature of his mind. Actually, even we all in this world, sometimes our mind flows downward. We can observe it. But if we find ourselves helplessly pulled by the mind down, we are in which guna? Tamoguna. Or sometimes we pull the mind up, you pull, and mind says, and goes, that is which guna? Rajaguna. But if we can pull the mind up and steady it, that is sattaguna. Like that we learn that, isn't it? So, sattaguna means you can clearly observe the nature of the mind. Yes. So, Arjuna Nakshatama, what happened? Actually he is telling, Arjuna was about to kill Ashwatthama on the order of Krishna, but then immediately he stopped for a while and then he made up his mind to go and hand over Ashwatthama to Draupadi, he is saying. So in this way one can observe the transformation of the mind which performs actions opposed to the Lord. So in case he killed Ashwatthama, it would have opposed the Lord's plan. Yeah. So whenever we find mind opposing, he does not identify with those transformations and enjoy them. Don't identify with the vikritis in the mind, which means like kama, krodha, lobha, and don't enjoy them. Rather, want you to elevate the mind above them. Yeah? Who's? He is asking whether liberated souls, their mind also is contaminated because they are observing. It is said that they observe. Here it is said that liberated soul absorbs mind, Supreme Lord, and sees the transformations of the mind. So I asked this question also in one lecture. I got the answer. Yadavadima macheta Krishna pada aravinde navanavarasa navanavarasa dhamni udyatanam rantumasit tadavatibatanari sangame smariyamane bhavati mukha vikara shushtu nishtivanam cha. So in that verse, third line says, Nari Sangame Smaryamane. When the thought of associating with the woman passes my mind, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the very thought of it. Like that he says. So then I got the explanation that such thoughts can pass through mind of even liberated soul. But they see them like the rivers flowing in and out of an ocean. Apuryamanam achalapratishtham. Samudra mapa pravishanti yadvat, tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve, sashanti mapnoti nakama kam. They are like that. They are like an ocean into which rivers are flowing in, flowing out. The ocean remains undisturbed. So they remain undisturbed. So because they are in the material world still, such thoughts may flow in and flow out. And they may not identify with those thoughts and jump into enjoying them. If somebody is jumping and enjoying them, definitely he is rajoguna tamoguna. He is not able to steady his mind. But conditioned souls suffer. Conditioned souls are like somebody is thrown into the ocean. They're drowning actually. They cannot come out. They're struggling. Whereas great souls can swim and they can go into a boat and they can be saved because they take shelter of the Lord. They also see, they may also be in the same samsara ocean. This is the verse here, Chaitragnya Atma Purusha Puranaha. How to conquer the mind. Bratru Yamenam. Okay, I have written the same thing. So for the 12th chapter also, the next chapter also I have made a similar type of. Cut illusion with sword of knowledge. Now, is it big enough? See, we'll quickly see the summary of the 12th chapter. Then we come to book, it'll be very easy. Read it.
Thanking for wisdom and inquiring further.
Yeah. Who is thanking whom?
Raghuna is thanking
Jadabharata. Because Jadabharata now has given some explanation about the mind, the nature of mind, how one should rise above the mind and become free from the vikritis of the mind, including anger, you know, lust, anger, greed, all are vikritis of the mind. So Raghuna seems to be a bit enlightened now. He's happy. And then he's telling, and he's telling Oh Master Jadabharataya, what is your condition? You are Karanavik. Read that Karanavik.
Karana Vigrahaya. You have an eternal blissful form like the Lord because you are a descendant of Rishabhdev. Swarupa Tuchikrita Vigrahaya. You remove all contradictions in the Shastras. Nigudha Nitya Anubhavaya. You are hiding your transcendental position.
So three names with which he addresses him and glorifies him. So, one time I asked my spiritual master that, you know, should we chastise somebody or should we pamper somebody? So, because, you know, if you chastise, people get broken hearted. If you pamper, then nothing is done, no job is done. So what should be done? So he was telling very interestingly, he said, before that I have taken Panchakarma treatment, you know. So Maharaj was telling, in Panchakarma what they do? They give you oil bath every day and they give you ghee to drink. One bottle every day you have to drink ghee morning. And they give you nice khichdi, very attractively made khichdi, they give you it. And then he said, for a week or so they do like this, they build the ghee in the body first. And after 1 week, they give something called as vaman. They give one round tablet. My Lord, if you put that inside and drink a lot of water, maybe 2-3 bottles of water you have to drink. After that, in your belly, inside your belly, it will go inside. As if something is rotating inside your belly. And then everything will come out from the mouth. And you will vomit practically a dozen times. And then you will completely become weak. Then what they will do, and you'll become so weak, you'll feel I'm going to die now, you'll feel like that, because it'll appear that your intestine has come out only, it'll appear like that. Then they will again put you in the bed, again give you ghee, and put you in the ghee, khichdi they will give you, and you have to just lie down. They told me, you should not work in computer, you should not attend phone calls, nobody should come to disturb you, you need rest. And another 4-5 days like that. Then you build up the ghee, everything. Now they will give you another tablet, which is called Virechan. Once you put that, now you will go from out behind. 14-15 times you have to go to the lavatory within about 3 to 4 hours. You will go to the bathroom and come back again, you have to run back. So much will come from inside. And you will feel the whole stomach has come out. You will wonder if the stomach is here or gone. As if everything inside has come out, it will appear like that. Then you will be crying, my Lord, I am going to die now. Then again, don't worry, again take ghee. And so Maharaj was telling, see, they give you ghee, they give you khichdi, they put you to rest, you relax and you feel very nice. And then they give, in the same manner he said, you have to pamper and chastise. Combine both, just telling. And then he said, when you appreciate, encourage, glorify, when people have got sufficient strength of your emotional bank account, then you may have to correct them. Then they will receive it. And now they are very broken hearted. They think I'm gone now. Then again pampering. Understand? So, and then he said one amazing thing which I have never heard before. He said, people of the head, they have no emotion. Isn't it? And they may be logical, they may be reasonable, but they are considered heartless, people say, no. They may be very analytical. And people of the heart, they have bhav, they have emotion, they are very kind, they are very considerate, they are very compassionate. But the problem is they are too sentimental. They are unreasonable. They can never think at all. They blindly follow the emotions. They just say yes for everything. They have the problem. And he said, for a Vaishnava devotee, his head and heart are one, he said. Oh, really? How head and heart can be one? Heart has been brought to head like this. How is it? Then he said, head and heart are one means what he said, Vajradapi Katoram, Kusmadapi Komaram. Both are there in a Vaishnava, he said. So Vaishnava will use logic and reason when it is required. Where emotion is required, he will take care of emotion. For example, imagine somebody came and gave a complaint to you, 5 complaints about one devotee. You called your counselee and told him 3 complaints you told in the night, yesterday night. And Kamsali collapsed and cried, "No, no, Prabhuji, I am not like this. I am a wonderful devotee. You have misunderstood me, everything." Okay, you say, okay, think, you heard the feedback now, don't worry. Go to rest now. Tomorrow morning I have to meet you again. The next day morning he comes. Will you give the 2 more complaints? Now already he has, you know, your counsel is very affected. So what you should do, 2, you reserve it for the future. You understand, no? So there, what is important? Reason is important or emotion is important? Emotion is important. So Maharaj is telling that you use emotion or reason as per the need. Like that he said. Like one devotee is sitting in the chat of the building and is chanting. Sitting in the parapet wall and is dozing like this. You think, you know, if I should not hurt him. You know, if I say you are dozing, you will get hurt. So will you not wake him up and come down, or will you wake him? How many of you will wake him up? Really? Will he not get hurt that you are finding fault with him?
He will get more hurt.
So at that time, what reason is important or emotion is important? So he was telling that in some occasion reason is important, some occasion emotion is important. You have to use what is according to Desh Kala Patra, like that he said. But why I told you this, many of us think in terms of 1 and 0, correct, no? 1 or 0, either chastise or pamper. But great devotees can resolve contradictions. See here, he says here, Swarupa Tucchi Krita Vigrahaya. You remove all contradictions in Shastra. Like for example, you all know Lakshmi Devi becomes afraid of Narsingadev's anger. She refuses to go. Then she sends whom? Prahlad. He goes, isn't it? Now somebody may say, oh, Prahlad is greater than Lakshmi also, is it? That even Lakshmi is afraid. But this is on Leela platform. Because Lakshmi behaves so that Prahlad can be highlighted. Prahlad can be glorified. So she is afraid. But in South India, there is a deity of Narsimha, where on one lap Lakshmi is sitting, another lap Prahlad is sitting. If Lakshmi is afraid, why is she sitting there? Correct, no? So you can ask, it's a contradiction. In one picture you see Lakshmi sitting on the lap of Narsimha and that side Prahlad is sitting. In another picture you see Lakshmi refuses to go near Narsimhadev. Is it not a contradiction? And the contradiction is resolved in large pastimes. Huh? You can understand. So in this way, Swarupa Tucchi Krita Vigraha, he is telling our, Rahuguna is telling Yadabharata that, oh, after meeting you, all my contradictions are getting resolved. And what contradiction he faced, can any of you say? What contradiction did Rahuguna face? Yes. Lingaraj Prabhu, give the mic.
He was thinking himself to be that happiness and distress. Like if soul is in contact with the body, then it also undergoes experiences.
Correct. So this is one of the first contradictions he felt. He thought that like a sweet rice being boiled in fire, and similarly he thought that when we insult somebody, that person may get hurt and soul also will be hurt, he thought. Now he understood, correct, no? He understood that the soul is liberated. The liberated soul focuses on Vasudeva. He doesn't focus on subtle body. Conditioned souls focus on subtle body. Therefore, he feels insulted. So his contradiction got resolved. That's one thing. What else?
Like as authority to take care of subordinates, he was like instructing Rahuguna, but it was on his false ego. Because of pride, he was giving that instruction.
Correct. Now he understood that just because I happen to be the king, I don't own the right to instruct my citizens unless I am properly connected to Lord Vasudev. That contradiction also got resolved. Thank you. Hari Bol. And he is telling what is my condition, read it.
Body filled with dirty things, kudeha, and vision bitten by the serpent of pride, mana adi vidashta deha, drishte.
Mana ahi vidashta drishtehe. Yeah. Then?
Your words are proper medicine, agadam, for fever, cool waters, himba amba, for one scorched by sun. Medicine does not always cure.
Somebody may say like that.
Yeah. Okay, your words are compared to nectar.
Yeah, therefore he is comparing it to nectar there, amritam, he says. First he says your words are like medicine. Because some people may say, hey, some doctor gives medicine, it doesn't work, somebody may say. Then he says amritam. Your words are not like agadam, but your words are like amritam, he says. They are like nectar, because nectar is proven. Anybody who takes nectar, they benefit by a long duration of life. So he's calling himself as a Kudeha. My body is filled with dirty things. It's made up of three gunas. And my vision is also bitten by serpent of pride, he says. See, what is the meaning of vision? Bitten by serpent of pride. I will explain a little bit. When Kumaras went to the door of Vaikuntha, they became angry on Jai Vijay. Then Jai Vijay fell at their feet, cried, and then begged them to give them remembrance of Narayana when they go to Bhuloka. All that happened and Vishnu came. And they got the smell of Tulasi into their nose. And then they fell in love with Vishnu. There, Chakravarti Thakur writes one point. That Kumaras could elevate themselves only up to Shantirati. They could not go beyond that stage. Why? Because their ego was bitten by the serpent of false pride, he says. Because they had become angry on Jai Vijay, and that anger was not still completely cleared. The nature of anger is, it has a repetitive nature. Any of you saw it, he became angry on somebody 1 week ago, then after 3-4 days you see him, again anger comes. After 3-4 months you see, again the anger comes. It just keeps like relapsing, again and again keeps coming. So as long as the traces of anger remain, you cannot advance in spiritual life. Like that he says. Therefore, they could not elevate themselves to Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras. Because when you have to go to higher stages of bliss, we have to give up hatred and attachment, both. Raga and Dvesha has to be given up. So they could not give up that hatred, due to which it's like a helium balloon wants to fly up, but the string is tied with a stone down. You are unable to go. So the hatred is like that. We are not allowed to elevate. So here also he is saying that my vision is bitten by the serpent of pride. And then he understands, Raguna, I think my questions are also based on my pride. So I am not pure. So he realized it. So he's a very nice king who is admitting his faults and praising Jadabharata that you are giving me nectar, medicine and everything. Hare Krishna.
My mind is inquisitive, kautuhala chepisa, and bewildered since you said that the results of actions seen in this world, such as fatigue,
drishyamanam kriyafalam,
such as fatigue, are simply based on convention, vyavahara moolam, and do not constitute the highest truth.
Yeah. Actually, this is another question he's asking now. He said, you are saying that you are never fatigued. How do I understand? That is something very difficult for me to understand. I am bewildered, he is saying.
Jad Bharat establishes the falsity of this of the material world. Not having understood the answer given to defeat the king's statement, the king again asks.
That means Jad Bharat gave an answer to defeat the king's false statements, but the king couldn't catch what he said. Now, therefore the king is inquiring. Now Jalabharata replies powerfully. See that verse we will recite. We can come 5 to 6.
Brahmana uvacha. Ayam jano nama chalan prithivyam. Yah partiva partiva kasya hetoho. Tasya api changrayor adi gulfa. Jangha Janur Madhyora Shirodaram Shaha.
See what the king, what Jalabharata is saying. Saying, I am Janaha Nama Chalan Prithivyam. Here are three men called persons. Their name is they are called persons. And they are moving. Prithivyam, on the earth, yaha partiva partiva. He is saying, but their body is nothing but transformation of earth. Like there is a saying in the Bible now, and from dust thou art born, and to dust thou shalt return. Correct, no? The body is made of earth, and it goes back to earth. It says, Bhumi Rapanalava. So here he is saying, on the ground we find the earth, on which walking. On which the walking are feet of a few fellows, which are also made of earth. Like that he is saying. And then he is saying, Parthiva. And Parthiva is saying, oh king, whose body is also made of similar earth. Like that he is calling. Yevi Parthiva, Ovi Parthiva. You understood, no? Earth is Parthiva. The three people's legs which are walking, that is also Parthiva. On the top of that is sitting on another Parthiva. Another earth, like that he is saying. Kasya hetoho, for what reason, tasya api cha angrayoho, adigulfa jangha, he's saying the feet and above that the ankles and above that the calves, above that the janu, the thighs, uru and madhyora, the waist, and then shiradhara, the head and the neck, amshaha, the shoulders, and adidharvi, and the palki, which is made of wood, shibika, cha, yasyam, on which Savira Raja, the king of Savira, is sitting. Apadeshaha, known as, is called as king of Savira, aste, yasmin bhavan, rudha nija abhimanaha, having a conception of false prestige. Raja asmi, that is the Raja asmi, I am Raja. Sindushu of the Sindhu Desam. Iti Durmada Andaha is captivated by false prestige. Read the translation.
The self-realized Brahmana, Jad Bharat, said, among the various material combinations and permutations, there are various forms and...
You can read this one. This Chakravarti Thakur's translation. Yeah.
Okay. Jad Bharat replies, O King Parthiv, who is possessed of a similar earthly body, your conventional existence is insubstantial. This person, the carrier of the palanquin, is a transformation of earth. His feet, a transformation of earth, are situated on earth. Above his feet are his ankles, calves, knees, thighs, waist, chest, neck and shoulders. Above the shoulders is the palanquin, a transformation of wood. In the palanquin, a transformation of earth, there is a person with the name King of Savira. You think you are the king, but this is not actual. From all the elements starting with the earth and ending with the palanquin, to which of these does the fatigue from carrying it belong? I can see...
Now the king is answering now. Yeah, what is king saying?
I can see that the earth and the palanquin are not tired.
Because he's thinking earth is dead and the palki is dead. And then the king is thinking that the four carriers must be tired, he's thinking. Yeah. Therefore, the feet must be tired because it belongs to the carriers. And then he's saying.
King Rahugan, identifying everything with the matter, argued that the living entity is within the body, and that when the body is fatigued, the living entity within must therefore be suffering. It is clearly explained in the following verses that the living entity does not suffer due to the body's fatigue.
Yeah.
Example, one does not experience fatigue on carrying the ornaments of a young girl or on carrying one's young son. Thus, happiness and distress are experienced only by one's particular identity. And you, blind with false identity, thinking, I am a king, actually see nothing. This is your happiness.
This is your happiness. See, what is the meaning of this is your happiness? That when the king is sitting on the palki, Rajaha Asmi, I am the king, that sense of false ego gives him a sense of happiness. This is a request to be understood. For example, everybody has a circle in which they are given a great amount of respect. For example, somebody is going to a particular place for preaching regularly. So he may have a circle of people who attend his programs and who know him, who value him, who respect him, who are affectionate to him. So that is like his basti, correct, no? His area. So in that area, he considers I am superior and everybody else is inferior. Correct or not? You know. But in another place, he may be one of hundreds of people where there is somebody else superior, so he considers himself inferior there. Correct, no? Every one of us, like I used to say, a big fish in a small pond, small fish in a big pond, we say, no? Like that. So, therefore, he is saying that when we four of us are carrying your palki, your ahambhav of thinking that I am the king, that is giving you a false sense of happiness. You understand, no? Similarly, in case the king is humiliated by somebody, or if he is defeated by another king and he is on his hands and knees, then he will experience suffering. So he is saying that your current happiness and your suffering at another time, these are all vikriti of your mind. He is saying it is simply a transformation of your mind. Similarly, if a man is carrying a girl's ornaments on his head and helping a girl, he feels happiness. That happiness comes from vikriti of the mind. And what is the vikriti? Kama. He has kama in the mind, so that gives him happiness. Imagine, on the other hand, he has to carry a palki of some government officer on his shoulder. He's not happy doing it. That causes, you know, a little moroseness or upsetness in his mind. That is another vikriti of the mind called anger. A carrier of the palanquin may be angry. And the weight he is carrying may be exactly same. If he is carrying a woman's luggage or another man's luggage, in one he has raga, in another one he has dvesha to carry. So that kind of thing he says, both of them are vikriti of the mind. Like that he is telling. It is simply a mental state. On the other hand, a liberated soul has no subtle body. So he doesn't experience pleasure or pain. He does all the work, you know, as if finish off his prarabdha karma. Like that a devotee does it. And his only mind is fixed in Lord Vasudeva only. So he doesn't feel any fatigue. If somebody cuts his neck, no problem. Some luggage has lift, no problem. He doesn't even see the luggage of man or woman also, he doesn't see. See, for a pure devotee, man or woman or child or animal, it makes no difference. He sees all of them as Krishna's children. Correct, no? Whereas a neophyte devotee may consider these differences. Correct, no? Therefore, once I told you, imagine you got 30 males in your box, but there is one female name, male. Some name has come, you know, Ramya, name is written. So you will see all the males. So female name, you say, honestly, tell me, how many will open that male first? Correct, no? Why they will open that male first? That means we distinguish between man and woman. Correct, no? And then you have to complete the male, you find it will be some, like I told you once, Ramya Tyagarajan, some name may be there like that. But the idea is, why I am telling you, our affinity for opposite sex causes raga. Our aversion for people of the same sex causes us, you know, dvesha. We don't like to, like sometimes you give a service, somebody may not want to do if a man is involved. If a woman is involved, they may do it. Therefore, nowadays in software companies, they put women at the top of the team. Because the men become perfect gentlemen when a Mataji is at the top. Mataji calls, hey, come here, come and tell me, report to me what you are doing. You know, he wants to perfectly do the job and show her that I have completed. He wants to show he is smart. So ultimately, company wants to benefit through this trick of psychophysical natures. Amazing, no? Isn't it? So, that's what Chakravarti Thakur is saying. It's all vikriti of the mind, he is saying. Vikriti of the mind. So he is saying, neither is the woman's luggage very light or sweet, nor is the man's luggage very tight or heavy. Luggage is the same luggage only. But what has happened? The mind's vikriti. The Chakravarti Thakur explains beautifully. It's all vikriti of the mind. So he is saying that similarly, he is saying, those who have no false identity do not have the sukha dukkha. That means liberated souls. They have no sukha dukkha. Read completely.
Due to Lord Vishnu's presence, everything is working, and there are actions and reactions. One who understands Lord Vishnu as the original cause of everything is to be understood to be perfectly situated in knowledge. You have 5.12.7. You have forcibly engaged them in carrying your palanquin. This proves that you are cruel and unkind. Yet, due to false prestige, you are thinking that you are protecting your citizens.
Is this the way you protect your citizens? He's asking. And then?
Next verse. All living beings, moving and non-moving, are simply different transformations of earth. For everything grows out of earth and again mingles with earth.
Yeah. So now coming back to the original point, when the king was asked, who is feeling the fatigue, what he said, certainly not the earth and not the palki, but the fatigue is felt by the workers who are carrying, he said, correct, no? But our Charapata is saying, no, even they don't feel the fatigue. He says, why? Instead of king of Savira, Sindhu king, our Ravana sitting, if his queen was sitting or somebody else is sitting, they won't feel the fatigue. They would differently feel it. That means, you know, feeling of fatigue and all these things belongs to the mind. Correct, no? It belongs to Vikriti is produced by the mind. And the soul is not the mind. So one doesn't, like that he argued. And then now he is saying, therefore all living beings, moving, non-moving, are all simply different transformations of earth. Because even all this grass and subtle coverings, they are all transformations of earth only, which means they are all material elements only. And they all come back from earth and go back to earth. And then Prabhupada gives a beautiful lesson for king, father or any leader. What to do, what not to do. Controlling mentality in king, quickly, yeah.
King Rahuguna, pride of being king.
You can read like this. King Rahuguna, proud of being king. He was proud of being king. And he felt that he had the right to control the citizens as he liked. But actually he was engaging men in carrying his palanquin without payment. And therefore he was causing them trouble without reason. Nonetheless, the king was thinking that he was the protector of the citizens and assumed, I am a great representative of Lord Vasudev. That is his imagination. So using citizens for one's sense gratification, he says that actually the king should be the representative of Supreme Lord Naradevata, the Lord among human beings. However, when a king thinks that he is the head of the state, he can utilize citizens for his sense gratification, he is in error. And then Prabhupada says in one purport, in Kali Yuga, there are wars resulting from the kings breaking God's laws. Kings and heads of government will be plunderers and thieves in Kali Yuga later on. They will take the money and property of the public by force. Rajanair, Nirgrinair, Dasyu Dharma Vihi. When the king or government head does not follow the proper principles, nature deals out punishments in the form of war, famine and so forth. Therefore, if the government head is not aware of life's goal, he should not take charge of ruling the people. Yeah? And also the king should maintain Praja as Vishnu's representative. Actually, supreme proprietor of everything is Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu. He is maintainer of everyone. The king should be advised by learned sages, brahmanas and scholars. The duty of the king is to follow these instructions. The king, father or any guardian, they are all simply representatives of Lord Vishnu, empowered by Lord Vishnu to look after the management and maintain things. It is duty of the head of the state to maintain the general population in such a way that the people will ultimately know the goal of life. That means the duty of any leader is two things. He should maintain the praja by giving food, clothing, shelter and all those things we read. P-A-W, you remember? Protection, administration, welfare. Pa, that's the duty of any king. You should do those things. And also, you know, deal with praja in such a way that praja will become inclined to Lord Vishnu and they will want to go back to Godhead. So Raghuna was not doing that. Instead of offering them the devotion to return back to Lord, he was actually exploiting them and creating some kind of aversion in them. So this, when we come back, we will study. This box we have finished up to that. When we come back, we will continue. Shri Prabhupada ki.